the darkness. Miracle worker, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Come on, say that with me. Way maker, light in the darkness, promise keeper, miracle worker, and whatever, that's who you are. My question this morning, do you believe it? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Miracle worker, light in the darkness, way maker, promise keeper. Just a variety of options for that order. But that is who you are, Lord. Lord, we return our thanks to you this morning. That is who you are. Say this, I receive you in a fresh way this morning for me. We receive you in a fresh way for each of us. And now, Lord, we commit ourselves to giving you away to everyone who needs you to. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. You are so great. Come on, give him a round of applause. You're so great, Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you reach up, please, and grab your earlobes? Just do a silly thing for me. Got your earlobes? Some of you ladies have to reach beyond the hardware that's on them. What are these?
Ears.
What are they?
Ears.
Are they just accessory hangers?
No.
Or is there a vital function that they serve? You see, all through the scripture, the prayer of the saints who needed God in every moment, and they would say, oh God, open my ears to hear you. Oh God, as we stand in a new year, on a new day, in a new month, open my ears to hear you, Lord. What does it take to hear? You know, we desperately hold on to our days of hearing. That's why there's such a vast industry for hearing aids. And what a help hearing aids are. You know, it's really cool nowadays. You can get hearing aids that will hook right into your phone and answer your phone for you. And there's all sorts of things that work. And it works really, really well because we want to hold on to our hearing as long as we can. So I want you to pray this with me one more time. Jesus, open my ears to hear. Communication is vital and hearing is vital for communication. There have been international telemarketers, and I just want to tell you a couple of stories here. International telemarketers have discovered that there's been some monumental mess-ups with cross-cultural communication. You know, are you always certain that what you say is what the person hears? Sometimes somebody hears something completely different than the message you intended to impart. And things like this. The Swedish vacuum cleaner manufacturer Electrolux used the following in an American advertising campaign. Nothing sucks like Electrolux. Coca-Cola in China was first rendered as Kikukila. Unfortunately, after thousands of signs had been printed, they learned that the phrase means bite the wax tadpole. That's what they were advertising. Coke then researched 40,000 Chinese characters and found a close phonetic equivalent, Kokukoli, which can be loosely translated as happiness is in the mouth. In Chinese, the Kentucky Fried Chicken slogan, finger looking good, came out as eat your fingers off. In Taiwan, the translation of the Pepsi slogan, come alive with the Pepsi generation, came out as Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead. Now, you can't be religious on me. When Parker Pen marketed a ballpoint pen in Mexico, Its advertisements were supposed to say, it won't leak in your pocket and embarrass you. However, the company mistakenly thought the Spanish word embarazar meant embarrass. Instead, the advertisement said, it won't leak in your pocket and make you pregnant. An American t-shirt maker in Miami printed shirts for the Spanish market, which promoted the Pope's visit. Instead of the desired, I saw the Pope, in Spanish, the shirts proclaimed, I saw the potato. Communication. What you see, what you hear, what you say, what you impart, and then how you hear is absolutely vital. Nations have gone to war over the mistranslation of one word. I read about the wars that happened, and George Washington even mistranslated one word. How many have ever heard of the Charge of the Light Brigade? The Charge of the Light Brigade is about 600 men going, about two-thirds or 80% of them died taking this area that was not the intended command, but what this person understood as the command, going straight into a suicide route. Only they were the ones who were killed. But we want to hear God and understand what He's saying. Come on, can't you say that's your desire? Lord, together in 2020, we want to hear You. We want to see You. We want to know what You're saying. We want to understand and interpret correctly what You're saying. But there are several elements to understanding and hearing God. Number one, you were created to enjoy God. Say that with me. I was created to enjoy God. Now, the Bible tells us that every day in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Literally, in Hebrew, that phrase means in the evening breeze. Freely, unhindered, unashamed, God would communicate with them. They communicated with Him. But one day, they ate of an apple. Oh, we don't know there's an apple. They ate of the fruit from the wrong tree. And instantly shame entered in. Come on. Sin happened. Instantly shame entered in. And they hid from God. Now that's exactly the result of sin even today. When we choose to sin, we hide from God, we hide from people that are here to help us, we go hiding. And God came in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 10, it declares these words. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" How many times is the Lord saying that to you and to me? Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Something's lacking in my life. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I've chosen the wrong thing. And so I can't lift my eyes to see you. I can't hear you. I can't know who you are because there's now a distance between you and me. Now the Bible tells us sin separates us from God. Who's the waymaker? Who's the healer of that? Who's the forgiver of sin, the deliverer, the redeemer? His name is, come on, shout it out, Jesus. But I hid myself. You are built for fellowship with God. Not for shame, not for hiding. God created you and me to commune with Him. The Garden of Eden was a place of unhindered fellowship. That's how it was created. A place of unhindered fellowship with God, but sin entered in. Adam and Eve hid. They couldn't hear. They couldn't be heard. Shame and hiding shut your eyes and your ears so you can't hear Him and you can't see Him. How many know we don't hide very well from God? But that's what it's like. Adam and Eve used fig leaves. God had to come along and clothe them with the skin of an animal a little later because they didn't do a very good job of hiding themselves. We don't hide very well from God. But Jesus took that curse on Him, you guys. Say it with me. Jesus took that curse on Him. Now you've got the Garden of Eden, where sin separated people from God. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus bore your sins, your griefs, your sorrows upon himself and then went to the cross. But in the garden, he poured, as it were, great drops of blood, great sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, as he wrestled with all of this separation from God on your behalf and mine. So you've got the Garden of Eden contrasted with the Garden of Gethsemane, and thank God Jesus took the curse. Come on, I said, thank God Jesus took the curse. So he redeemed and restored communion with God. Every time you feel far away, if there's something to confess and repent of, do it. But then receive that forgiveness because Jesus restored your communion with God. Now, Pastor Sherry's message, you can be entwined with Jesus. You can be as intimate with him and close to him. You can tell Jesus everything on your heart. You can look at me this morning and say, Pastor Kim, I don't know how to pray. You know what prayer is? Just talk to God. Just talk to him. Well, I don't know how to do this. Oh, yeah? I'll bet your spouse would say something different. You do know how to talk, honey. Just talk to God about anything, about everything. You don't have to use thee and thou. You don't have to be religious and speak in King James English. Just tell him what's on your heart. Don't hide from him. Don't be ashamed, but come to him. Hiding and shame and condemnation is the opposite of God's heart for you and me. He wants to walk with you and fellowship with you, share his heart with you. He wants you to hear what's on his heart, and he wants to hear what's on your heart. Someone say amen. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired, out of the New American Standard. It says, my ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required, thou hast not required. Out of the Passion, look at this. It's not sacrifices that really move your heart. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, that's not what brings you joy. But when you open my ears and speak deeply to me, I become your willing servant, your prisoner of love for life. I love that. How many in this room are prisoners of love for life with Jesus? Lord, I surrender to you. I belong to you. My life's not my own. Come on, if you're crazy enough to think that you created yourself and you're your own, God's got a different thought for you. We may think that, but it's time to shift. I gave him my life. That means he's the master. My life is his. Say it with me. My life is his. I'm a prisoner of love to Jesus. Isn't that good? You were created to hear God. Created to enjoy God. You were created to hear God. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Out of the New Living. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. Have you ever had to go to somewhere before they opened up, maybe to a friend's house, and you didn't want to knock too early? Or how about you tried to go to a store and it wasn't open yet, so you just waited outside for it to happen? Well, this is what this is like. This person is just waiting. Lord, I want to come meet with you. I want to hear from you. I need you. I know, and I don't want to see you. And I want to know what you've got. I'm just waiting, oh God, for your word. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day. How often? Come on, talk to me, church. How often? Come on, how often? How often does God want to speak to you and me? Every day. Joy will break forth within you as you listen to what I'll say. Daily time. Daily intimate time. Daily fellowship time. Doesn't have to be a religious bronze hour. Doesn't have to be full of these and thous. But just your heart sharing with Jesus what's on your heart and listening for what's on his. Time in the Word. Reading the Bible. Taking a look at that psalm and that section, you go, Pastor Kev, I didn't get a whole lot out of it. Look for just even one verse. Let the Holy Spirit quicken your heart with even just one verse, a phrase of one verse. And he'll encourage you with it. You go, well, I it's not good enough because I didn't get a great big revelation from it. Well, when you go home and eat every day, do you have steak and lobster every day? Sometimes you eat a bologna sandwich and it didn't seem so good, but you ate. Right? Sometimes it's like that in the spirit. Sometimes, some days, it's more open and other times it's not. But you're being washed, the Bible says, by the water of the Word. You wash away the world. You wash away the junk. Sometimes you and I have chosen the wrong choice over something we might have watched. Maybe it wasn't straight out horrible, but it left you feeling unclean. Come on, anybody relate to that? You left you feeling unclean. You ask Jesus to just wash you by His blood. You go into His Word and you let Him speak to you again. Daily time. Have you ever wakened up in the middle of the night? You come awake, and some of you, yeah, three or four times, I got to go to the bathroom all night long. No, but have you ever awakened and you don't know what's going on, and but there's just something in your heart? Instead of thinking that it might have been the bad pizza I ate, what we need to do is stop long enough to say, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? Is there something you want to say in the midnight hour, in the 3 o'clock hour? Jesus might just find you free enough from distraction where He can say, hey, I got something for you. Or He'll drop a verse of Scripture into your heart. Or maybe there's been something on your heart you don't know what to do or you don't know what to say. Maybe there's a word of encouragement you need for your friend or your spouse, and He'll just drop it right in if we listen. Oh God, I want to hear Your voice. I was created to hear You. You might say to me this morning, I just don't hear from Him. Just take time. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about hearing from God. He will speak to you in the quiet moments. And it's time for some fresh vision, some fresh insight, fresh hearing in our relationship with Jesus. You know, I get the privilege of waking up next to Pastor Sherry every day. I don't say good morning, Pastor. I say good morning, Sherry. And sometimes when we get up, we enjoy our coffee together and we make big plans. Sometimes we make really big plans that don't happen, but we make big plans. Sometimes they do. And other times, we don't make big plans at all. We just enjoy being together every day. And so too, in our relationship with Jesus, sometimes the revelation unfolds and unfurls, and you know the next steps. And other times, you just enjoy being with the Lord who loves you so much. What a great God. Master Jesus will speak. The Lord of love in your life will speak to you. The commander of the Lord of hosts will speak to you and unfold battle plans. He'll give marching orders if we'll just let Him speak and we'll listen. One of the most important sections of Scripture, if you want to turn to it in your Bible, whether it's on your tablet, your phone, or a hardcover, is 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel was an answer to prayer to his mother from God, who had prayed for years and years to have a child. And she had a little boy. They named him Samuel. And she pledged to the Lord that as soon as he reaches the right age, I will give him to the priesthood and to the service of the Lord in the temple. She kept on holding on to him as long as she could. But there came a day when he was dedicated to the service of the Lord, and he stayed in the temple and didn't go home with mom and dad. He was an answer, and his name was Samuel. But there came a time when the Lord was going to begin to raise Samuel up as a prophet of the nation. Eli was the high priest. He was a corrupt high priest. He had allowed his children to become completely corrupt. And the next wave of leadership was going to hit. And the lineage of the old priesthood was going to pass. And a new lineage was going to come through Samuel. And God began to try to wake him up. How many remember the story? Samuel! Samuel! And this little boy gets up and runs into the high priest Eli, and he says, yes, sir, I'm here. What do you want to say? And Eli probably acted just like you and me. He goes, I didn't wake you up, kid. Go back to bed. You're waking me up now. So he goes back to bed, and It happens again. Samuel. He gets up and he goes back to Eli. And he says, "Here I am." And Eli says, "I didn't wake you up." But realizes the Lord's trying to speak to you. And it gives them this instruction. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down. And it shall be if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Three simple points. Number one, welcome him. When he comes and he wakes you in the middle of the night, welcome him. Don't just say, "Oh, come on, get off my case, I want to sleep." Welcome him. Ask him to speak to your heart. Number two, you see a degree of submission and surrender here. He was his Lord. Say, "Speak, Lord. You're in charge. What is it you want to say? What is it you want to do? What is it you want to accomplish? Speak, Lord." Let there be that hunger to hear him. "Lord, no matter what, I want to hear you and respond to you." Number three, commit yourself to hearing what he is saying. We used to tell people in counseling, been involved in ministry for about 47, 48 years now. In fact, that worship leader looked like me 35 years ago. So anyway, that we were watching this morning. But we used to tell people, when you come in for counseling, don't come with a preconceived notion of what you are demanding someone speak to you. There are people who will go all around to any minister they know and they can find, and they go to whoever they can find to tell them finally what they want to hear, and then they finally say, "I heard from God, thanks for the confirmation." The reality is, what you need to do is present yourself to the Lord and say, "Lord, whatever it is you want to say, I want to hear. Even if it's not easy for me to hear, I want to be what you want me to be. Speak to my heart, Lord." Samuel is a great example of somebody who heard a difficult word because Eli asked him to share. "What did you hear? Tell me every word, lest something befall you." And it was a statement of judgment from God against Eli and the priesthood. But God spoke to him clearly. Welcome him. Surrender to him. Commit to him. It's simple stuff, you guys. Daily time reading the Bible. Daily time in prayer. Daily time just saying, "Okay, Lord, say what you want. I want you to tell me what's on your heart." Does that witness with anybody in this room? You want to hear more from God? You want to have him speak to your heart? "God, I don't want to hear what I heard in 1969. That was good. But I want to hear you right now in 2020. Lord, I don't want to just do what we did in 2018. I don't want just church as usual. I don't want business as usual. God, I want to know, what is it you're saying today? What is it you're doing today? Oh, God, change my life today. Make me more like you. And Lord, we want to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I don't want yesterday's manna. I want what you're saying today, oh Lord. And I give myself to you." You can hold yourself off from the Word of God. "Nah, I'm not going to read it much. Not going to give, not going to serve, not going to read the Word, not going to do anything in prayer." You're all welcome here. Anybody's welcome here. But I will give you a guarantee. The kingdom principle of God, I give you a guarantee. You are not going to grow and hear from God in the way you should hear. And you will sit back if you don't respond to God. You will eventually be the person who says, "Not speaking to my heart anymore. I urge you, repent. Turn around. Let Jesus embrace you and bring you to himself in a fresh way." Come on. Can't you and I, can't each of us be embraced by God in a fresh way and grow? Come on. Lord, say it with me. "Lord Jesus, I commit myself to fresh growth." Pastor Kev, you're a bad news preacher. No, I'm not. I'm trying to say, how can we do our best to get rid of the clutter and grow? Turn to each other and say, "I bet I want to grow more than you do." Now look back at the other person and say, "That's not true." Number three, created to minister God's word. Created to enjoy God. created to hear God, created to minister His Word. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. See it? He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Out of the New American, here's what the verse says. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain or comfort, is the passion word used. Comfort the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Would you do me a favor without embarrassment? Turn around and look at each other in the room. Just look around. Just look around. Come on. Come on, some of you. Turn your necks. Look around at the person sitting next to you. What you have sitting here, listen, please hear me. What you have sitting here is a family of people who love Jesus and love you. It's called a family. So therefore, one of the main reasons we go to God is, Lord, I want to hear what you have to tell me to encourage my friends in the Lord this morning. Lord, show me something for Jerry today, or for Bob, or for Michael, or whoever. Show me something that will encourage them and strengthen them. I know my friends have been going through some tough times, and there have been some health issues. Jesus, give me a word that will encourage them. And that's how the family operates. Isn't that good? So it's not just for me. That's good. But you know what you find? When you reach out and minister to your friends, you know what you find? And it's a word, and they look at you and go, wow, how'd you know that? That was right on. Do you know how encouraged you are? Because you ministered to them. Created to minister God's word. The weary. In the Hebrew, the word weary means fatigued and exhausted. Sometimes we all get that way. Some of us are fighting battles, health and financial and difficulties with family, and we need a living word from God to give us help. Love each other so much that you just keep knocking on Jesus' door for each other. Lord, give me a living word to encourage my brother or sister in Jesus. How does it work? Watch it. Turn to Acts chapter 9, if you would, please. Acts chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. You see it in your own scripture. It's up here. But if you see it in your own Bible, you'll hold on to it possibly a little bit more. How does this work? Just like this. The Lord said to him, meaning Ananias, a disciple. Well, all we know about Ananias in the New Testament church was he was a disciple. And the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. This man was a terrorist to the body of Christ. Saul was a terrorist, but he got knocked off of his animal and saw a great flash of light and understood that Jesus was calling him to a different life, and he was blinded. And he goes into this town, and without knowing that whole backstory, Jesus says, Ananias, go minister to this guy. If anybody had a reason not to, it was Ananias. But the Lord had already spoken to Saul. Could you imagine if somebody named Robert came in to minister to him? He goes, wait a minute, where's Ananias? The Lord told me Ananias was coming. But Ananias said yes to God. He got a living word and a living action, and he took living obedience, and he ministered that living word. And guess what happened? Saul's life was completely changed. He got up, he was water baptized, he was surrendered to the Lord, and that man, instead of being a terrorist, he became a terrorist to the devil and began to plant the word of God all throughout the known world. We don't hear about Ananias again. We do hear about Saul, who became Paul. Jesus spoke to Peter in a vision, said, go to Cornelius' house. God put somebody specific on his house, on his heart. He didn't even know the guy, but he got a living word, and he opened up an entire new phase of Christianity to the Gentiles because he obeyed. Can you hear from God?
Yes.
Come on, church. Can you hear from God?
Yes.
Can you respond to God?
Yes.
Can you obey God?
Yes.
Look around at each other again. Can you encourage these people? And anybody else the Lord guides you to encourage? You were created to minister God's word. And point number four this morning, you were created to know what God is doing. This is very important. I'm not even going to go into it this week, but in future weeks, we're going to go into the sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar were absolutely vital to the nation of Israel. They were people who knew God and who knew how to read the signs of their times. Church, if you don't think we're in a chaotic world where Jesus Christ is needed to rise up through His people who stand for godliness and righteousness, who aren't afraid to stand for Jesus and minister the Word of God, now's the time, church, to rise up and be the sons of Issachar who know their God and what He's doing. Because people are going to be more and more afraid and turn to you and say, "What's up?" And you go, "I'll tell you what's up. Jesus has something great for you. It's time to come to Him." Habakkuk was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he was really confused. He was really angry at God. Habakkuk was upset because Babylon was coming to judge Israel. He was upset about it. Anybody ever been upset at God? Come on, three of you. Okay, anybody ever been real enough to admit you've been upset at God? Life didn't go how I wanted. Life wasn't going how he wanted. My nation's not supposed to be judged by these wicked Babylonians. And here's what he says. "I'll stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected." You know, if you're honest with the Lord, you can be going to him with what's on your heart and allow him to adjust you. He is so good to do it. "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry.'" In this particular month, there are Christians all around this nation, all around the world, who are fasting, who are praying, that God will move in a fresh, fresh outpouring. I am one who is convinced that God is going to do exactly that. I think we're alive in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. I'm convinced God is going to move. God is going to usher in a new way. And I want to be involved in what Jesus is saying and doing. How about you? It's not time to go to sleep, church! Right. Say that with me. It's not time to go night-night on God. It's time to wake up, to allow our spirits to be alive. He wants us to know what He's doing. He wants to have us listen, pay attention, and respond. Amos 3, verse 7, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything till He reveals His plans to His servants, the prophets." What's my purpose this morning? To whet your appetite to hear from Jesus. 2020 is fresh. It's new. It's time to step up higher, up our game by grace, to hear from Jesus in new and fresh and powerful ways. We're created to have no shame, but to enjoy Him. We're created to hear Him and hear His word. We're created to minister His word. And we are created to know what He's doing. Say it with me. Lord, open my ears to hear. Say it again. Lord, open my ears to hear. Would you stand with me? And the Lord has spoken to you. Now I'd like everybody to sit back down, please. Close your eyes. What I want you to do is, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to hear God in a fresh new way, seriously want to hear Him speak to your heart, I'd like you to stand to your feet. If you're committing yourself, "Lord, speak to me in a fresh new way," I want you to stand to your feet. Now let's just raise our hands because we've all agreed together. Lord, you hear in us a willing-hearted people. Lord, you see in us a people who want so much to respond to you. So Lord, in the night seasons, in the daytimes, through your word, through one another, speak to us, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Speak, Lord, for your servants are watching. Speak, Lord, for we commit ourselves to freshly hearing and freshly obeying you. We love you so much, Jesus. As we go on into a new year, won't you do your will and make us what you want us to be? And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And they all said, now, if you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you or you have a further need in your life, I know that Bob and Chris will join us over here in prayer for people for healing. And if you need to give your life to Jesus, this is the day to do it, man. Don't let the time slip away. God loves you so much. Aren't you glad you've come to the house of God?
Yes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they all said,
amen.
Be released in the joy and the presence of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God bless. Amen.